Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Vedic Astrology Podcast. My name is Fiona Marks, and it is time once again to look at the entrance of the sun into a Rashi. Today, it is entering the Rashi Taurus, and hopefully we've all survived the amazing level of dynamism that was in solar Aries. If you remember, we had a solar eclipse taking place, a total eclipse over many cities in the US during solar Aries. So I think we all experienced a lot of stimulation and maybe some inspiration, being as the eclipse took place with Rahu and Venus and Mercury. Perhaps all of that Rajasic energy in Aries gave you some great inspiration of what it is that you would like to do with this coming year. And now today we have the opportunity to give the sun a kind of completely different place to experience itself. And that is Taurus, which is an earth sign, a female sign, and a Rajasic sign, and it's owned by Venus. So it's quite a change of energy from Aries, and it's also quite a change of energy from the sun's natural qualities as well, being as the sun in Vedic astrology is masculine and is related to the fire element, whereas Venus has all of that water kind of energy. So let's dive in and have a look at how this interaction between the sun and the Taurus Rashi might go about, and then also have a look at what that means for individual ascendants, because when you look at it, the ascendant level, the sun tells us something about that person's perspective. The sun will be maybe their first lord, or maybe their 12th lord, or their fifth lord, and just its location in a person's ascendant chart might give us some insights about maybe what are the good things for us to contemplate this month coming up, this solar month of Taurus. Let's jump in and talk about what is happening in the solar month of Taurus. As the sun enters Taurus, it will actually be joining Jupiter and Uranus, which are already in the sign of Taurus. So there's plenty of energy there already. And as it is entering, it will also be a time when Jupiter and Uranus are conjunct with each other, both at 21 degrees in Taurus. And at the same time, Venus and Mercury are also conjunct right next door in Aries, where the sun has just left. So there's some energy marking this transition of the sun into Taurus, which might be taking place for you on the 19th or the 20th of April, depending on where you are in the world. Very soon after the sun moves into Taurus, we're actually going to have a full moon. The full moon will be taking place in the very early degrees of Scorpio on the 23rd, 24th of April. So the full moon is happening at the beginning of this solar month of Taurus, whereas the new moon is going to occur in Taurus at 17 degrees 2 weeks later in the month. Venus and Mercury are conjunct just as solar Taurus starts. And we must remember that Mercury is going backwards. And then Jupiter and Uranus are conjunct when the sun enters, and Mars is around about that same degree, but in Pisces. And so another thing that's going to happen this month is Venus will change signs from Aries to Taurus. That's happening on the 29th or 30th of April. And right after that, Mars is going to change from Pisces to Aries. That's around the 30th of April, the 1st of May. After that happens, the new moon will occur at about 17 degrees of Taurus. And at the same time as that, Saturn will be at 17 degrees as well. And then after that, Mercury is moving into Taurus as well. So towards the end of this solar month of Taurus, we're going to have a lot of planets in Taurus, with Mercury, Venus, Sun, and Jupiter all there. And during this period, the Sun is going to conjunct Uranus and then really catch up to Jupiter and they'll hang out for a few days together. And being as they're headed in the same direction right at the end of this solar month. And right before the end of the month, we get Mars crossing over Rahu just as the sun exits. So these are the main things that are occurring in the month. Just to summarize, the sun is entering and we have Venus and Mercury conjunct in Aries at the same time that the sun enters. Uranus and Jupiter will also be conjunct. So a lot happening on that very first day. Then the moon is going to have an early full moon in Scorpio. And then the full moon will, of course, be in Taurus. Mars is going to change signs the 30th of April, 1st of May. Mercury is going to finish its retrograde and it's also going to change signs around the 15th and 16th of May. Jupiter is going to conjunct Uranus during this solar month right at the beginning. Venus changes sign on the 29th or 30th of April. And finally, Saturn is going to be in the middle of Pisces at the start of solar Taurus. And the nodes are also at the middle of the sign that they're in. And we can see all of those movements here, as usual, in the Taurus planner, which is basically like an ephemeris combined with some notes that you want to make about each day. And just in my example here, I have marked some of those conjunctions and entries into new signs. So we can recap once again that as the sun enters, there's an awful lot going on. We've got the sun coming in just when Mercury and Venus are conjunct, but also when Jupiter and Uranus are conjunct. And at the same time, Saturn will be at the same degrees, middle of the sign, as the nodes. So a lot of emphasis about the entry of the sun into Taurus. And we can see that planets will be sharing similar degrees throughout the month. You can mark that on your planner, for example, around the 23rd, 24th, when we have that full moon. We're also going to have Venus and Uranus both at around 21, 22 degrees, so is Jupiter. And we'll have Mercury also meeting the middle of the sign along with Saturn and the nodes. And then later in the month, 29 and 30th, we have those changes of sign from both Venus and Mars. At the time of the new moon, which is taking place around 17 degrees of Taurus, where the sun and the moon will be at 17, Saturn's also going to be at 17 degrees of Pisces. And the following day, we're going to have Mercury and Uranus both on 22 degrees. Then later in the month, the 14th of May, the sun and Uranus will be at the same degrees of Taurus. And a few days following that, the sun and Jupiter are going to be at the same degrees in Taurus. In the middle of that, Mercury is going to change signs from Aries into Taurus as well. So just like there was a lot going on at the beginning of the sun entering into Taurus, there's a lot going on at the end of the solar month of Taurus as well. Finally, just adding that Mars will be at 14 degrees, the middle of the sign of Aries, which we know is right where Rahu is. So plenty of energy marking the beginning of the sun's entrance into Taurus and marking the exit of the sun as well. So what do we think it means for the sun to go and spend some time in Taurus? One of the ways to unpack this is to think about what are those characteristics of Taurus that we know about? And just last episode, Pratyush was here from Decoding Zodiac with Vedic Astrology. And he was sharing with us a way to look at the Rashis. For example, noticing that Taurus is feminine. It's a fixed sign. It's an Arthur sign, meaning it's associated with work. It's Rajasic. It's a merchant. And of course, it has earth energy. And what about, do any of those kind of match up with the sun? That's when we feel like perhaps these planets and signs work well together is when, or work easily together, is when the interaction is around similar characteristics. But in this case, we find that the sun has a masculine energy and Taurus has a female energy. So we're getting a bit of a mismatch then. The sun is sattvic and Taurus is rajasic. The sun comes from the warrior class and Taurus we associate with the merchant class. And their elements would also be different. So sun representing fire element and Taurus representing earth element. So we can see that we really haven't found a match in those major characteristics. There hasn't been some link between these two astrological components. Because really, if we think about summarizing what the sun is about, regardless of whatever planet it goes into, the sun, because of its masculine nature, is always going to be looking externally to how it can make an impact on the world. It's going to be interested in righteous transformation through leadership. So externalizing this righteous transformation through leadership would be the key phrase for the sun. Whereas perhaps when we think of a key phrase for Taurus, we might be thinking more about an internal stabilizing and grounding, like a sort of nurturing energy, and also a very pragmatic approach to relationships. So this fixed earth sign of Taurus in some ways maybe is the least changeable sign in the zodiac. Sometimes we think of Taurus has a bit of a reputation for being stubborn. And there are many different ways why maybe it picked up this reputation, but one of them could be the fact that it's an earth sign that's fixed. And also being feminine, any changes that are happening are going on internally. So it's quite a strong change from Aries to Taurus. And maybe one way to think about it is perhaps Aries is that impulse to get things started. And maybe we can think about that as a seed. Aries is a seed in the soil and Taurus is the perfect soil. It's really is the earth sign. It's feminine. It's nurturing. It's moist or maybe even wet because of Venus. So this seed can get a lot of support in a way from Taurus. However, we might not see that because it's happening underneath the soil and the soil could get too wet. This is maybe the risk of Taurus for the sun, is a seed needs a bit of moisture to get it going, but it doesn't want to be flooded. And if we think about the sun in Taurus from a Vedic astrology point of view, we would consider that to be a Lajatadi Avashta. So the sun being starved by Venus, the sun doesn't get starved by very many planets, only by Venus and Saturn. So when it's starved by Venus, because Venus is operating in the mundane world, it can have a focus on the external world and the sun is our inner inspiration. So Venus starves the sun by believing that the outer inspiration is more important than the inspiration. And Venus can dampen the sun's natural fire of creativity. That's what we were just talking about, the seed getting flooded. The person maybe is doing things for the approval of other people. We talked about Taurus being pragmatic in its relationships. It really values harmony and diplomacy. And this can negate the sun's natural intelligence if it gets too interested in people pleasing. So it can lead the sun to not know what they want inside and make choices that are out of alignment with their soul. And that can, as a consequence, end up hurting others, which is the opposite of what the sun is all really about. So this is how Venus starves the sun in Taurus. There's several ways to create starvation, but one of them is by being in the sign of an enemy, and sun and Venus are enemies. While we're here talking about starvation, we can also notice that Jupiter is in Taurus at the moment, and it would also be starved by being in a sign of Venus. And this is a similar situation to the sun in that Venus has a natural focus on the material world and Jupiter is about inner contentment and understanding the interconnectedness of everything. So Venus can starve Jupiter by accidentally changing its focus from enjoy to enjoy. That is, rather than internally seeking it externally, having this idea that happiness is going to be outside of the self. This is what can happen when Jupiter is starved by Venus. And this can mean that we have that feeling of always chasing after a sense of happiness, that it's just at the end of the rainbow. And if they just did this or had that, they would be happy. So Jupiter's joy is a gift to the world. And when Venus staffs Jupiter, that joy can become about consumption. And this is unnatural for Jupiter and leaves a sense that they're not fulfilling their purpose or contributing in a meaningful way. So in some ways, for both Jupiter and the Sun, Taurus is not maybe the most natural interaction to have and can lead the, with all the best of intentions in the world, as in putting water into the soil, so Venus in Taurus, that can just not do well for these two planets that both have fire energy and can lead them to be too interested in happiness or achievements in the external world rather than in moksha and in righteousness. However, the Sun and Jupiter are naturally very sympathetic to each other. We were just saying they both have the fire element. They're both masculine. They both got sattva going on. So there is for Sun here in Taurus a good friend, a good wise friend in Jupiter, which is a good thing, even though perhaps from a Vedic astrology point of view, we would consider this to be a little bit more of a difficult or unsuccessful interaction for each of these planets in this sign of Taurus. And as we think about what Taurus is offering as a feminine fixed sign, it's offering the Sun a chance to internalize all of that dynamic experience that we just had in Aries, which especially the eclipse that was involved. So Taurus is going to help with the stabilizing and grounding earth element. And we know that we've got this wise friend Jupiter here. So in a way, it is a chance to turn within. So if you yourself want to take the opportunity of solar Taurus, perhaps it's that chance to turn within and evaluate, try to integrate some of all of the inspiration and dynamism that you might have experienced during solar Aries. But we do know that Uranus is here as well. And in Vedic astrology, I don't generally read the outer planets. So I'm just pointing out that it's there and that both Sun and Jupiter are going to interact with Uranus this month. What we can think about with Uranus is that it is linked to maybe the idea of Brahma, the creator. So it does have this opportunity to invent things and create new situations. Perhaps it's a little rebellious or unpredictable, maybe. Maybe all creation is a little bit rebellious and unpredictable. So maybe there's some concern there about having Jupiter, which amplifies things, it makes things bigger, right? And then also the Sun is going to have this interaction with this chaotic, dynamic, kind of unpredictable creation. So we don't need an astrologer to let us know how tense some of the situations are in the world in terms of inter-geopolitical relationships. And this is maybe a little cause for concern that we have these two planets conjuncting Uranus. As we said, the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction happens right at the beginning. So by the time you're listening to this, whatever that might stimulate has probably already happened. And then later, the Sun is going to cross Uranus and then Jupiter. So that wisdom of Jupiter is not coming till after the Sun has passed through Uranus. So in my mind, it would be nicer if the Sun-Jupiter conjunction happened first and maybe a chance for wisdom before something chaotic and rebellious. We just want to also, while we're gently dabbling with planets, we want to notice that Pluto is at the very beginning degrees of Aquarius. So when the Sun enters Taurus, it will also be in a square relationship with Pluto. And that is also something that maybe gives us cause to hold our breath a little. And for those of us that we don't often use the outer planets, we could just also notice that as this event happens, that the Sun is entering Taurus, even if we don't consider the outer planets, we do have Saturn in this in-conjunct relationship with Rahu and Ketu. So there is maybe even a karmic feel even without the outer planets, there's some kind of Saturn in Pisces is resonating at the same middle of the sign energy that Rahu and Ketu are as well. The other thing to notice about that entry point is Mercury and Venus are conjunct, and that is a Rajasic combination. They're friends. So maybe this is a lot of politicians and a lot of communication happening right around this time. You can tell me as you're listening to it, and it probably will have happened by the time this episode is up. And it's very close to Rahu as well. So lots of things that I think it's good for us to wish peace and focus on really being grounded in peace and what that truly means. Wishing all beings well as we enter Taurus this 19th and 20th of April. Now, what about your own chart? As we mentioned, the transits have a particular flavor for each ascendant, and it's very individual, and it's not something that any podcast could do justice to. But perhaps a conversation here on the podcast can open up one's mind to what are the elemental ingredients of this solar transit through Taurus, and how is that maybe individualized to my chart? So what we're going to do is have a look at this from the perspective of each ascendant and say all that we can say about the transiting planets. What we can't talk about is where each person's individual birth planets are, because that's what I don't know and I don't have in front of me. And they will drastically change how this transit appears for each person, because the state of the sun, your sun, wherever that is, or the state of your client's sun, is much more important than this particular transit. So we want to check what is happening with the sun in the birth chart. And because it's Taurus, we also want to check what's happening with Venus in the birth chart. So these two planets are going to be really critical in tailoring the meaning of the transit into your own life. So that's very contextualized and needs to be done at the each individual person basis. But why don't we challenge ourselves to have a look at how this shows up for each ascendant? How is this opportunity for the sun to perhaps turn within and reflect? How is that going to play out in each ascendant's chart? And what about the case of too much water on the sea causing the inspiration to be snuffed out by getting too wet and being in a way even too much supported by the love of Venus? Venus starves by giving too much as a feminine benefic planet. So if the person is an Aries ascendant, then Taurus is actually the second house for all Aries. For an Aries ascendant, Taurus tells us something about the kind of skills this person needs to gather resources and take responsibility. So it tells us that for Aries ascendant, in order to gather resources and take responsibilities, we want a stable, internal, solid kind of place to do that. And when the sun is transiting through Taurus, if you're an Aries ascendant, that means that your fifth lord is transiting your second house. And when it's a second house, links ideas of income with personal inspired creativity. So maybe we're going to feel a bit more confident about speaking about our creativity, or even moving our creativity into an income generating space in our life. So this is what the ideas of the sun you might like to contemplate during the month. And we also have to remember that the fifth lord can be romantic, so we might want to contemplate romance. And the sun here is giving us the chance to work out how to pay for the inspiration that we gained in solar Aries. So whatever, if you're an Aries ascendant, whatever inspiration you had during that period, how are you going to bring that into reality in a pragmatic way by finding the funds to do that? Now, we also want to note that the ascendant lord for Aries is Mars, and it's transiting through Pisces, which is the 12th house. So there may be some nebulousness about all of that. Pisces is quite beyond this material world and Neptune is there. So maybe these ideas and inspirations are a bit nebulous, or there might be some also losses and things we need to let go of. So these are things Aries Ascendant might like to contemplate, linking their creative expression to income, thinking about how they're going to fund their inspirations, take responsibility for them and turn them into reality, and maybe also consider contemplating Mars is in the 12th sign for Aries Ascendant at the moment. Now, moving along, if you are a Taurus Ascendant, then this transit is taking place in the first house. And the first house is an angle and a trine. It's dharmic. And the sun for a Taurus Ascendant is the fourth lord. So for Taurus Ascendants, their life path is being supported by Taurus, creating a nurturing, stable, internal and pragmatic kind of place for their life path to begin. And this transit of the fourth lord, the sun through the first house, might bring up issues of home, contentment, relationships with the mother, and new and growing ideas in these areas. Maybe you want to start learning something. And as this is also a moksha enlightenment combination, it is the perfect time to be contemplating our inspiration. But it could also bring uncertainty about balancing how to value one's inner peace, that inner safety and security, and not wanting to take risks. And so therefore compromising with others and maybe getting a little bit smaller. That's how the Venus starvation might be happening there. Now, but it will be with Jupiter, the 8th and the 11th Lord, which is growing other people's money, gains through other people's money. And once again, the Ascendant Lord is transiting through the 12th house. Some things that a Taurus Ascendant might like to contemplate this solar Taurus month is inner contentment. What I want to compromise and not compromise on, and what I need to let go of as my Ascendant Lord Venus is in Aries and will be joining into Taurus. So those are some of the things that solar Taurus might provoke in one's contemplation if you're a Taurus Ascendant. If you are a Gemini Ascendant, this Taurus becomes the 12th house. And the skills of Gemini Ascendant in letting go, that's what's being emphasized by Taurus, is giving these skills of being able to let go. So want to release internal, pragmatic and material things. Remember that the moon is exalted here in Taurus. So for a Gemini Ascendant, letting go of emotions can be very therapeutic as well. So maybe that would be one takeaway for a Gemini Ascendant, is it's a nice time to contemplate what to let go of. The sun transiting Taurus for a Gemini Ascendant reminds us of one of my favorite Gemini Ascendants, Donald Trump, who is this month, in fact, being secluded away in a courtroom. So that's the 12th, can have that sense of seclusion, either in this case, it's a courthouse, but it could be a hospital or a jail or a retreat facility. Anywhere where we are away from that busyness of the marketplace. And so maybe a shorthand for thinking about the solar transit of Taurus for Gemini Ascendants is to think of Donald Trump being removed from his daily activities and having to be courageous, the third house, and competitive, use his skills to fight for what he considers to be the truth, and really, in this case, fight for his freedom and liberty, his reputation. So maybe shorthand for Gemini can think about the third lord in the going transiting over the 12th. But for the rest of us mere mortal Gemini Ascendants, it can also relate to hobbies and travels or pilgrimages. And we might be getting help from our friends and our younger siblings. But it could have some frustration about compromising with others and having to let go of something. The sun might actually inspire us to let go of something. And the sun will be with the seventh and the 10th lord, and the ascendant will be transiting the 11th. So they're very powerful numbers. So for Gemini ascendant, things to contemplate, what to let go of and what to compromise on, and maybe increasing our hobbies of contemplative activities of the 12th. So increasing our interest and hobbies in meditation or yoga or any of those kind of moksha related, maybe 12th house activities. If you're a Cancer ascendant, then Taurus becomes your 11th house. For Cancer ascendant, gains are internal nurturing and grounding. And the moon, which is the ascendant lord, is exalted here. So it can be very stabilizing for a Cancer ascendant to have the concentration on those long-term aspirations. And the sun transiting Cancer's ascendant might inspire a person around wealth, because we've got the second lord of income transiting through the 11th house of gains. Perhaps multiple streams of income, or maybe even using money to make money, might make the Cancer ascendant have an excellent reputation this month. And the only thing we want to be careful of is that Taurus is Rajasic and maybe a little bit too pragmatic, and perhaps taking the sun away from its righteous nature. So we want to think about whether this inspiration around wealth is a little too mundane, or is it truly auspicious and righteous, as the sun naturally has that kind of energy. Now, the moon is also going to be full in the fifth house for Cancer ascendants this month. And this is also emphasizing that theme of investments, the fifth house of investments. And of course, it will be new in the 11th house, which is another financial house. And the sun will be with Jupiter, which is a Karaka for wealth. So I don't know, there just seem to be a lot of wealth things there, don't there, for Cancer ascendants. So perhaps time this month, this solar month of Taurus for Cancer ascendant, can contemplate these ingredients of income, of multiple streams of income, of perhaps investing, but remembering to be true and authentic to those highest ideals of the sun while we go about these contemplations. Leo ascendant, we have the first lord, the sun, transiting the 10th house of Taurus. So this tells us that for Leo, the career skills can be very stabilizing, pragmatic, and grounded. So what a gift that is for Leo ascendant. And we have to remember that the sun actually gets Digbala when it's in the first house, as it would be in this case. So of all of the ascendants of the sun transiting through Taurus, perhaps this is where the sun can hear its own voice best of all, and maybe resist those risk-averse elements that are coming from Taurus, where Taurus just wants to nurture so much that it doesn't encourage any risk-taking. Now, the sun transiting Taurus might inspire righteous action about work. And remember that Venus, the owner of Taurus, will be in the 9th house by transit and then moving into the 10th house. So that kind of supports what we're saying there. And Jupiter is also there. It's associated with meaning and purpose too. So we've got a few kind of 9th house or purpose, meaningful undertones to this transit. And Jupiter rules the 5th about creating a legacy. And so this also supports the idea around authentic inspiration for work. And Jupiter is ruling the 8th, which is in charge of kind of change and transformation. And Uranus is there, which is also about change too. So perhaps some things for Leo ascendant to contemplate during this solar Taurus is about work, authentic work, creative work that is grounding and linked to the material world. So yeah, happy contemplating on that one with Leo. Moving to Virgo ascendant. And now we find ourselves with the 12th Lord, the sun, the 12th Lord is in the 9th house. And this tells us that for Virgo ascendants, the skills of meaning and purposefulness are really internal feminine skills. They're very stabilizing and they're very nurturing, because that's what Taurus is telling us about this person's 9th house. The sun is the 12th Lord for Virgo ascendant. So this is an indicator for the soul. And of course, it's linked to moksha and contemplation. And the ascendant lord, which is Mercury, is transiting through the eighth house, which is a moksha house too. And it's with the ninth lord. So again, we're seeing here lots of indications around similar themes of contemplation and enlightenment and finding meaning in that process. So maybe there's inspiration here to be charitable, maybe some travel to distant land, or even contemplating whether it's time to let go of a teacher or something that we've been devoted to. And this is a time to internally reflect on those things. So what do we need to let go of in order to find meaning? Perhaps that's what we could take advantage of with solar Taurus, is set aside some time for contemplating those sort of indicators. When we think about this transit from the perspective of a Libra ascendant, the sun is actually the 11th lord for a Libra ascendant, and Taurus is taking place in the person's eighth house. So this tells us that for Libra ascendant, the skills of transformation, which is what the eighth house is all about, the skills needed for transformation for Libra ascendant are internal, nurturing, and pragmatic. And for a Libra ascendant, the sun can be a little bit difficult because it is the 11th lord, which is the yoga breaker, and can really take a person away. So previously we mentioned that perhaps for Cancer ascendant, because the 11th house is, the moon is exalted there, perhaps aspirations can be helpful. For Libra ascendant, we really got to ask ourselves, are these aspirations taking us away from the pragmatic good work that we can do here on planet Earth? So the sun is transiting the eighth house, and it might inspire changes, perhaps in relation to partners, because Venus, the ascendant lord, is in the seventh house, and the seventh lord for a Venus ascendant is Mars, and it's in the sixth house with Saturn, and it's been there for solar Aries. So I'm wondering whether solar Taurus is a invitation for Libra ascendants to go inside and contemplate their partnerships and relationships. However, it could also be a financial combination, because the eighth is like other people's money and legacies and wills, and the 11th is gains. So perhaps that's the case, but we've got Uranus there as well, being a bit chaotic and volatile. So maybe there could be like some volatility in one's ideas around gains or inheritances or something like that. It might come and go or get big and get small. And even for Libra ascendants, perhaps the sun here is inspiration to connect with larger networks and talk about things like astrology or psychology or any of those transformational kind of sciences, as that is the eighth house, the moksha house of esoteric knowledge. So these are the kind of things that a Libra ascendant might like to contemplate this month during solar Taurus. When we look at this transit from a Scorpio ascendant perspective, then Taurus is the seventh house and the sun is the 10th lord. So for Scorpio ascendants, this tells us that those skills that they need for partnerships are internal, pragmatic, maybe transactional. And this transit seems to be primed to inspire the person around business, work, and relationships, because it's the 10th lord going through the 7th house. And it's traveling with the 2nd lord and the 5th lord, that's Jupiter. And those numbers all resonate really nicely for business and business partnerships. The ascendant itself, which is Mars, is transiting the natal fifth house. So another indication of grace and also investment, perhaps also romance, the fifth house of romance. And this transit taking place in the seventh house of partnerships. So maybe taking those inspirations from solar Aries and finding business partners, relationship partners. We just want to be aware that Venus, which owns the seventh house, is currently transiting the sixth house, and it also rules the 12th house for Scorpio ascendants. So we just want to have our eyes open about the partners that we might be getting involved with. So just checking out that those are really supportive and true, honest relationships that are not going to be enemies, the sixth house of enemies, and are not going to be a cause of losses, Venus ruling the 12th house for Scorpio ascendants. So these are some things to contemplate for Scorpio ascendant during solar Taurus. When we look at this solar transit from the perspective of a Sagittarius ascendant, we find that Taurus is the sixth house for a Sagittarius ascendant, and the sun would be the ninth lord. So this is telling us that for Sagittarius ascendants, the skills of their daily approach to life and to obstacles, the skills are internal, nurturing, and grounded. But we need to remember that Jupiter is starved by Venus. So the challenge can be having a benefic ruling the sixth, because we can be too gentle in our daily routines and we can be too gentle with our enemies. So it might be a nice time just to contemplate those things. And the ninth lord transiting our sixth house is maybe going to give us an inspiration to take graceful action to resolve those obstacles, maybe even taking legal action. And the sun is looking to make a righteous impact on our daily difficulties here, maybe giving some of its warrior energy. However, Taurus is very stable, and in some ways it almost makes it risk averse because it's so nurturing, not because it's fear-based risk aversion, but just because it's so the mother taking care of anyone who's in Taurus. So you might need to use that solar energy to have the consistency to take action here. Maybe that's what the sun is bringing. And remember, it will be with the ascendant lord. Jupiter is there as well for Sagittarius ascendant, and that also rules the fourth house. So that inner security and emotional security and inner peace and happiness. So yeah, the sun might bring some inspiration there. So that's something to contemplate. For a Capricorn ascendant, Taurus is the eighth house and the sun is the fifth lord. So the skills for Capricorn that are required to build a legacy are those slow, steady, grounded, harmonious progress that comes from Taurus. That is how Capricorn creates its legacy, the fifth house. And the sun's transit could inspire a moksha approach to our legacy, because it's the eighth lord. And maybe our legacy is our children, or maybe it's our creative output. Maybe the sun is even going to inspire us to make some change or take action, or even wanting us to transform our relationship with our children or with our romances. It is a great combination for mantra, the fifth house of mantra, with the eighth lord, a moksha lord. So maybe this is a month for the Gayatri mantra here if you are a Capricorn ascendant. So these are some of the things to contemplate around our intelligence, the fifth house, and the eighth house of moksha and transformation for Capricorn ascendant. For Aquarius ascendant, the Rashi of Taurus is the fourth house, and the sun then would be the seventh lord transiting through the fourth house. So this tells us that for Aquarius ascendant, the skills of inner contentment are internal, nurturing, and grounding. And the sun transiting Taurus is maybe actually telling us something about our partner, because the sun here would be representing the partner, and perhaps the partner's going to have some inspiration about the home or improving the peace in the relationship. The ascendant themselves, the Aquarius ascendant, might feel responsible towards the home. And being as it's happening in a Venus sign, Taurus is a Venus sign, there might be an emphasis on a need for harmony, perhaps stabilizing any dynamism that happened for the partner during that Aries experience last solar month. So maybe this will even show up as inspiration to move home, to change home, because the seventh is the other side from the first. So maybe quite a move away from home. Maybe because Taurus is all about beauty, maybe it's going to be inspiration to improve, decorate the home. So these are some things to contemplate for Aquarius ascendant. And then finally, looking at this transit from Pisces ascendant, we find that Taurus is the third house for Pisces ascendants. So it tells us that the skills of courage and adventure are internal, integrative, and harmonious for Pisces ascendant. The sun, when it's transiting, would be the third lord. So maybe it's going to be the inspiration to implement daily action that improves our hobbies and interests. Maybe it's going to improve our hobbies and interests around nurturing ourselves, being as it's in Taurus. And the sun could bring some obstacles to encourage this person to find their courage and their self-value by taking action. So the challenge here is that Taurus is going to want to nurture and stabilize. So perhaps this is about internally reorganizing our approach to adventure, to our hobbies and what it is that we like to develop and test ourselves and challenge ourselves. Maybe Taurus is offering the chance to do that integration internally. So these are some ideas of what Pisces ascendant could consider and contemplate during this solar month of Taurus. Okay, that brings us all the way around the zodiac. I hope that you will find some valuable hints for what to contemplate as the sun transits Taurus, and obviously wishing everyone in this stabilizing solar month and nurturing that we are able to connect with the mother energy and value all of our relationships and around the world have that incentive to value each other. And I look forward to seeing you next time on the Vedic Astrology podcast and see where we are when we do our next solar month, in which will be Gemini, see what it is that we've learned from the month of Taurus. Of course, if you want to catch that ephemeris, you can pick it up on Patreon at Fiona Marks, so patreon.com/Fiona Marks. And we'd love to have you there anyway as well. So feel free to join. Wonderful. It's lovely to be with you. Best wishes for this solar month and look forward to seeing you again soon. Bye, everyone.